have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning. Two verses of scripture I'll be reading from. First is found in the book of Romans chapter 8. If you put your finger there and then turn to the book of Luke. And turn with me to the book of Luke, the 7th chapter. Put your finger there. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. In the book of Luke chapter 7, it's a story of a wondrous time for a family. Notice what it tells us in the 11th verse. It came to pass the day after that he went to the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And now when they came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out by the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city were with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came to touch the bearer, and they that bare him stood still. And he said to the young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, that they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God hath visited his people. And the rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the regions about him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power and the grace and the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, move on us today with your sweet, sweet spirit, for we believe and trust in you for everything we're going to receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them in the eye and say, hey, I'm beautiful. And I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord. Glory. Now, I know it's Mickey's big hand is on the 20. So I got at least an hour. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning, and I want to title the message simply this: Let the Child Live. Subtitle it, Empowered by New Life by the Spirit. Amen. There's a child in every one of us. Whether you're 20 years old or you're a grandparent, there's still a kid inside. Some of us don't kill him every time you turn around. We just let him out and enjoy life. Hello? Come on, church, smile. There's a child in every one of us that seeks the thrills of yesterday. Amen. You know, you get around folks and it never fails. They'll start talking about what they used to do, because that child's in there remembering when they used to have a big time. Amen. Now, if you're like me, my child can think of stuff that happened last week because I'm still having a good time. Amen. Praise God. But now, church, the reality is that that's where we are. The child in us is always looking for those things. But you know what? Our things change. You know, we've gone from Tonka trucks to cars and RVs. We've gone from dolls to children, from army men to hunting apparel. We've gone from tricycles and bicycles to four-wheelers and speedboats. We've gone from games to work. We've gone from comic heroes to rock stars or country music singers. I want to throw that in, because we got some of y'all could probably name every country music singer ever wrote a song and then get mad at a kid because they listen to something else. We've gone from pageants and contestants to getting all kind of other things. We've gone from reality to living in fantasy. And now, no matter how hard we try to hide it, the child still hides inside us, drowned by the troubles of life, hidden with religious piety. Sometimes we just get reacquainted with us again, and it'll help us out. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise God. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? You see, the child's a part of that makes us who we are. Amen. The child's a part of us that dreams great and marvelous things, that sees the invisible and reaches the unreachable. The child in us is the youthful thinker, open to new ideas, daring and innovative, believes the good guy wins, that we can always make a difference and we can live happily ever after. The child in us is the one that actually has the hero, gets the bad guy, and he's the one that always scores the touchdown no matter how good the defense is. Lord, hello. The child in us is the one that sees us as the best father or mother and can forgive somebody overnight. The child in us is that keeps the twinkle in our eye and the bounce in our step, believes God is everything in this world and can do everything we need him to do. And if we've ever needed anything, we need some folks in the church to get that kid alive, because it's that childlike faith that's going to take us to the next level in God and move us beyond that we could ever have in this world. Could you say amen to that, church? Hallelujah. Amen. And the part that the devil's been fighting for all of our lives is that little child in us, because he don't want us to get loose in the faith that believes God can do it no matter what's going on in our life. He does not want us to get up in the morning saying, this is a day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. He would rather have us bound down with our problems, worried about our troubles, trying to figure out how we're going to get out. He would love to have us continually on nerve pills and running to doctors trying to find answers, instead of understanding there is a God who has all power, which is in heaven and in earth, who is able to bring us out in his glory. Could you say amen? Glory. This is the part of us that allows the enemy that is killed with disappointment, with trials, discouragement, and failure. The devil knows that if you kill the child, you'll become spiritual zombies, dead but still moving, like shells living in a state of emptiness. Amen. We start our lives, we buy houses, we have families, but we're still corpses. You see, we're dead because we're reduced to existing instead of advancing, surviving instead of thriving. We're neither hot nor cold, and we take up space, but we're in a vegetative state because spiritually there's nothing going on in our life, because we get up every day and drag a dead body around. Come on, church. Amen. I remember Paul dealing with that. You got to understand, in Paul's day, when somebody committed murder, they would simply take the body of the person they killed and tie it to that person. They would put guards with him so he couldn't get loose and make him walk around with that body till the body began to decay and begin to fall apart. And as it did so, the disease out of that decaying body would get into the person that killed him, and literally the person they killed would kill them. And that was the way they did things. And I hear Paul talking about that dead body when he said, oh wretched man that I am, who would deliver me from the body of this death? What's he talking about? That man he used to be, that man he was before he got right with God, that man that didn't exist because there was no life in him. He said, I thank God that in my mind I'm going to serve the law of sin, but in my flesh I'm going to serve the law of sin, but in the spirit I'm going to serve the law of God. But he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. For the law of life in Christ Jesus had made me free of the law of sin and death. Thank God this morning I found a place where I died on an altar and I came alive in him, and this morning I am alive and I'm doing well because my child lives. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory. See, y'all may not believe it, but we got folks that shout in a state of death. Void of influence and power. Have no direction or initiative or real purpose in life. They just come to church just so they can feel a little tingle. Hello. He said, preacher, you know what you're talking about? I sure do, because they come down here and run all over the place on Sunday night and call me on Monday morning, fell apart wanting some help. Nothing wrong with that. But if every time everything goes wrong in your life and you shouted the night before, you didn't get much out of that shout. And can I tell you, the devil don't care how much you shout. What he don't want is you to get alive and thriving in the anointing of the Spirit of God, so that when you shout, it's just an outcry of what's actually really going on in your life, instead of an emotional stir that just kind of give you a quick fix. Come on, church. Y'all may not believe this, and I'm going to take a step here. It's going to make some of you mad, but it's the truth. We got some people in Pentecost ain't nothing but junkies. Church junkies. They live from Sunday to Sunday to get them a fix, and then all week long they're working on what's wrong with them so they can go back to church and get them another fix on Sunday. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, honey. If you can't have something good on Monday, you don't need to get into out and act like you got something on Sunday. Amen. You ought to be able to shout Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday that there's victory in your life. You say, preacher, you don't have bad days ever. Once in a while you may have one, but even in a bad day I can still look up and realize God is still on the throne. His power is still sufficient, and what is inside of me isn't going to go away. Could you say amen to that, church? Come on. Amen. Somebody asked me one time, he said, you got saved, you have to quit dancing. I said, no, I just changed partners. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Y'all trying to figure out what I'm doing. I had to go buy some new glasses this morning. I lost mine. And I had a certain person tell me, said, they got them over at Dollar General. Bifocals. Now I got to figure out how to use bifocals. never had any in my life. I can look through the top part and see, look through the bottom part and I can read. Problem is, I keep looking up through the bottom and y'all look weird. Glory. Amen. It's time to let the child live. We need a new outpouring of Pentecost in our lives. Amen. Before we need a filling, we need a resurrection. Amen. Before we need a filling, we need to get alive in Christ and let God be vibrant in our system. And then say, God, now, would you breathe into me the breath of life that'll give me joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, a peace that will pass all understanding, and a power that'll make me an overcomer even in the midnight hour when nobody else is around, because I know my God is able. Could you say amen? Amen. What is that that would make somebody want to die? Death is a release. It excuses us from putting effort into anything. It excuses us from being disappointed. It releases us from meeting expectations. Rather than face the fact that we're willing to let the devil hold our funeral and write our obituary. There's nothing more unfair than to die before your time. Hello? Come on, church. Jesus usually didn't go to funerals. Usually when he showed up, he made people mad. I got a sermon at home somewhere. Matter of fact, it's probably stuck in that building somewhere, but it's an old cassette tape. It's a preacher preaching Jesus' funeral. He said, I can see the undertaker show up and say, I'm glad you're dead, because every time I had a funeral, you'd mess it up. Had one boy headed to the graveyard and you got him out before I got there. Had another man buried and was fixing to collect my money and you brought him out and set him free. Glory. Amen. I want to tell you something, church. God don't like death. He deals with it very harshly. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? Well, in Nan, he had his first confrontation with death. He just simply walked up, said, son, get up. And the boy got out of the casket and went home. Glory. He finally gets to his friend's funeral 2 days late or 4 days late. Hello? He was 2 days away, and his sister sent for him, so it took 2 days to get there. And the Bible said he waited 2 more days, got back, and the man had been dead 4. So they were telling him while the man was dying, you need to come. He waited 2 days and then left. Took him 2 days to get there. And by the time he got there, they were over at the funeral. The church folks had showed up. They were out there bawling and squalling, bringing in the tater salad. Glory. Oh! Come on, church. You know us. We'll have a wake if anybody passes away. We don't even have to know them. Glory. We Southern folks, we'll go to a funeral just so we can eat. And they over there having this time, they're kind of, y'all may not believe this, but Jews had a tradition. If somebody died, you didn't have enough family members, you could hire mourners. And they load it up. These people are getting paid to cry. Jesus shows up to his friend's funeral. And he goes up to the tomb, and one of the sisters comes up and said, oh, if you'd just been here, he wouldn't have had to die. In other words, you could have healed anything. He's got to be dead now. You're out of shot. See, we got people that actually believe God can heal anything until the doctor says you're terminal. And then we ain't got no more chance. Huh? Come on, church. Not yet. I know better. Because I remember 1974 when they told my mama she was terminal. And I'm your pastor because God took care of the situation. Because I made a cut a deal with him. I said, okay, heal my mama, I'll preach. I've been preaching for 36 years because I watched my mama live another 31 years of her life. Past the 6 months, she's supposed to die. And right before she did pass away from this world, they said, one thing we can tell you, she's still cancer-free. So I got a God that can take care of what them doctors have got to say. Come on, church. Hallelujah. He showed up. Finally, he goes past that sister, walks up to the grave, tells her, said, take away the stone. The other sister said, oh, no. He stinks. He'll run all the mourners off. Glory. They take it off, and all of a sudden he walks up to the grave and he doesn't do no great and wonderful. You know how these people, they got, have you ever been around these guys going to pray for you and it looks like they got a headache or something? They got a, what was it you needed now? I don't need to know what you got to have need of. God already knows that. I just need to know the God that can do something for you. But these guys want you to get up and put the mic. Now, what'd you say was wrong with you? Hello? You ever been around some of these guys, if they know somebody's really bad off, they always skip them, pray for everybody else. I've been to some of them meetings. If somebody actually got healed, some of those guys would have a heart attack and die right there on the scene. But they make you think they really believe it's going to happen. Or they'll stand there and they'll get up there and they turn around and knock you in the middle of next week, and you hitting on the floor laying back there trying to figure out, was it God or his hand? Glory. One of them guys in Gordo one night don't pray for me, and I stand there. He done knocked three or four people winding while I was standing there. He got in front of me, and I said, you hit me, you better hope it's God, because if not, I'm swinging back. You know, he didn't pray for me. For some reason, he said, oh, God. He just walked off. Passed that little independent church leader. He said, you crazy preacher. Hello? Jesus didn't walk up there and do a bunch of incantations. He said, Lazarus! Can I point something out to you? I'm fixing to mess up a good sermon. He didn't even specify which Lazarus. He didn't say Lazarus, Martha's little brother, or Mary's brother. He just said Lazarus. I realize how many hundreds of Lazarus was probably down in Sheol, in the waiting place of the soul, waiting to get out. But yet that word was so specific, it went to the one it was looking for. It didn't have to go down through. It went down the line of Lazarus going, you, no, you, come on. And he brings him out. You say, preacher, what did that tell me? I was trying to tell you that ain't nobody getting nothing God sent your way. He knows right where it's going and how to get it there. Come on, church. Amen. We got to get back to that place we believe our God knows who we are. He don't have to call me by name, say Kenneth Stroop. He can just say Kenneth, and my name's going to come out, and our body's going to know he's talking to me, and I'm going to understand that word was meant for me. Could you say amen? Woo. Lazarus gets up, comes hopping out the grave. Why was he out? Because they had him wrapped up in grave clothes. You say, you can't prove that. Listen to what he said to him. Loose him and let him go. Amen. He gets up and he leaves out. Man, he goes back to his house and has chicken. Or whatever. You say, preacher, I just don't know about that. Then you don't believe in God. Because he had one real battle with death. He decided, since he took care of it in man and he took care of it. Have y'all never noticed God always practices and he checks the apparatuses out to be sure they work? I mean, he went over and raised the boy from the dead, then he turned around and raised the guy been dead for 4 days, and then he died himself, went in the grave and cleaned it out so we'd understand if we die, we can come out. Hallelujah. He was just checking the resurrection apparatus to make sure it worked. And the Bible said he is the firstborn of the dead. He is the first of the resurrection. And if there's a first, there's a second. If there's a second, there's a third. If there's a third, there's a fourth. Sooner or later, they're going to get down to my name. And though I die, I'm still going to live, because I live in him, because I believe in the one who said, behold, I am he that was dead, yet now I'm alive, and I'm going to live forevermore. Could you say amen to that, church? Hallelujah. So Jesus didn't go to too many funerals because he kind of had a bad effect on them. But let me ask you something. What was the reason this kid needed to live? Simple. It wasn't his time to die. God has a destiny for everybody in this building. If you can just find it, you won't spend so much time trying to figure out what's wrong. Come on, church. See, we got too many Christopher Columbus Christians. We just had Christopher Columbus Day, didn't we? National holiday. Everybody took off Monday. You couldn't get no mail. Couldn't find many banks open. Celebrating something that didn't even happen. Christopher Columbus never came to America. How can you discover something you never went to? He left Europe going to India. When he landed in the Caribbean, he thought he was in India. That's why he grabbed those people and named them Indians. That's how our Indians got their name. But they were from a Caribbean island. They weren't even our Indians. They wasn't a Cherokee in a bunch. He carries them back to Europe going, I found a way to India. So basically what happened was, he didn't have a clue where he was going, didn't know where he was when he got there, and couldn't tell you where he'd been when he got back. He just done something and got famous for it. We got a lot of Christians like that. They ain't got a clue why they're going anywhere. They just going. They don't know what they're living for. They're just living. They got no purpose or destiny in their life. And every once in a while, they'll do something and go, man, I must be living right. Amen. You know, church, if you really find out what God wants you to do and you get in it, man, life becomes a banquet. Amen. Life becomes one of the greatest things you ever be in. You get up in the morning going, man, I got purpose. I got something to do. I got a destiny. God's working on it. And I'm moving in my destiny. And I'm going to overcome because I'm in my destiny. I'm not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Amen. We can be like the guys in the boat when Jesus Jesus, let's go to the other side. Go to sleep. You ain't got to worry about what's going to happen in the middle of the lake if you know you're going to the other side with him. Some of you worried about what's going to happen tomorrow if you know you got somewhere to be 2 weeks from now. Why worry about tomorrow? Because you know your God is going to take care of you till you get there. He had a destiny. God has something for everyone in the right place. Don't die before you die. We got too many people die when they're 25 years old and they wait 40 more years to get buried. Glory. Some of y'all gonna catch that in a minute. What did he just say? Oh yeah, they're alive. They're going through life, but they ain't got nothing going on. You see, Nan, its actual meaning means lovely place or place of affliction. It can be either one, depending on which way you inflect that Jewish word or that Greek word. So what are you saying is, this was a town that had the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat all rolled up in one. And Jesus shows up because he can handle them both. Amen. He can get victory and not get overcome by it, and he can live in defeat and overcome it. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. What killed the boy Nan? Was it the lovely or the affliction? Was it success or was it mediocrity? Was it failure or was it just simply he wasn't trying? Was it power or was it personal pride? Was it being looked over or was it because he always lived in a defeated attitude? Was his expectations of a perfect life or the fact that he just tried to ease through life and not worry about nothing? Hello? Was it a failed marriage or did he just give up on life altogether? Was it a perfect church or church fights in every church? Hello? I don't know how many people tell me, I'm looking for a perfect church. And I'd see them every time I turn around at a different church. Come on, church. When I evangelized, I used to understand they were evangelistic members. I'd come through at Birmingham running revivals or go up in the mountains running revival. And one time they'd be at this church, the next time they'd be over there. They moved around more than I did, and I was an evangelist. And I always blame God. God led me over here. My God ain't never been that fickle, church. He's got a good idea where he wants you if you just let him put you there. Come on, church. Oh, that's good preaching. Some of y'all look at me like, preacher, you getting your nose in the wrong place. It's right where it needs to be. Glory. See, what was Dan's purpose? To help learn the deal with both. Not supposed to kill us, but to carry us to the city, to the place of testimony, to build us up. Come on, church. Amen. Come out of man knowing God is an omnipotent loving God, that God is the only one who can loose you from the things of the flesh and leave you with a testimony of overcoming power. Hallelujah. Amen. Notice something. Psalms 34. Amen. The 18th verse. Listen to what the psalmist said. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. For many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him out of all them. He keepeth all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. But the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. What's he saying? He said, it doesn't matter what's going to happen. I'm winning. Hallelujah. Why? Because I got God on my side. I'm not dying till he's ready for me to die. Come on, church. Amen. Some of y'all need to get up in the morning and take the devil's best shot. Take a little time, turn around, quote a little scripture, grab Ecclesiastes and hear what the wisest man said in Ecclesiastes 7:17 when he said, why should thou die before thy time? Hallelujah. That's scripture. Amen. Let the devil take his best shot. Amen. Get up in the morning and run out the back door going, hey, I'm still here. I'm still going in God. I'm still moving in him. I'm going to do it like this way. What was it Andre Crouch said when they told him he'd never be able to sing again? He's backstage one night playing on a piano and his voice started clearing up, and next thing you know he runs out on stage and starts playing and singing a song. I'm going to keep on singing. I'm going to keep on shouting. I'm going to keep on telling the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. And as long as he does that, God's going to give him voice. Could you say amen to that, church? Next time the devil gives you a shot, get up in the morning with a praise on your lip and a song in your heart and a little kick in your steps and let the devil know I ain't going down till my time comes. Woo! Glory. God's got something for you to do. What's the real reason for him to live? Somebody needed him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The sixth verse, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God to the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but I'm not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto the death of Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. What did it say? He said, God's got an investment in me. I don't have to worry, because as long as I have that treasure, that anointing in an earthen vessel, I've got an anointing to give me life, and to give me life more abundantly in the power of Jesus Christ. Could you say amen? Notice what he said in Luke 17, verse 12. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried, the only son of his mother. She was a widow. She didn't have anybody else. You may not understand this, but what that simply means was she was fixing to starve, because a woman didn't own property. A woman couldn't hold a job. She couldn't provide for herself. And since she didn't have no more family members, there wasn't nobody to provide for her. See, I got a couple of y'all done bristled up. No, cop them at church. God, women do this, women do that. In that day, they couldn't by law. And if you didn't have a husband, you starved. And all she's got this boy to take care of her. You say, you couldn't prove that. Y'all remember when they came back, when Naomi showed back up? She came home knowing she had nobody to take care of her. And her daughter-in-law came with her. And a distant cousin fell in love with her. And decided to leave them some food in the field so they wouldn't starve to death till he could get around and marry the girl. And then after he married her, she got taken care of, because her former daughter-in-law was still taken care of, because she still considered her mom. We got the same problem here. So Jesus understood they had to have somebody. See, church, some of y'all need to realize, when you really sell out to God, you become important to his purpose. Amen. There may be somebody you can touch that nobody else can touch, something you can do that nobody else can do. Amen. You can be important for the will of God. Somebody says, what are you talking about? Any of y'all remember a guy named Jacob? Liar, supplanter, deceiver. Amen. Somebody said, well, he ain't never gonna amount to nothing. May not have, but he had a son named Benjamin. Hello? See, some of y'all thought I was going to say Joseph, didn't you? And Joseph was a great kid. But Benjamin was the one that the tribe of Benjamin came from. You know why that's important? Because there was a young man born to a house of a man named Joseph, who was a member of the tribe of Benjamin. You see, Jacob had a son named Benjamin, who became the great, 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 great grandfather of a guy named Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the next time you think you ain't got a purpose, you don't know what, you might be starting out in the kingdom of God with something you got going on in this world. Come on, church. Hallelujah. I remember in the early 1900s, there was a gentleman got saved at a tent meeting in Gadsden, Alabama. He was a carpenter. He couldn't do nothing for God, no real education, but he could build. And he built a church building. Had no clue that when that church got going, a group of those people would be in Tuscaloosa County preaching on the steps of the courthouse. And some folks would invite them to a little community outside of town out there where they had a little hole in this church. And they'd go preach. And those people would get filled with the Holy Ghost and become part of the church of God. And that 50 years later, that man's great-grandson was stumbling off the streets on a Sunday night, a drug addict, alcoholic, no hope in the world, and end up getting saved because Papa drove some nails in a building one time. Didn't think it meant anything, but it got something that brought somebody out of the pits of hell. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what the devil's trying to tell you can't do. In Jesus Christ, every little thing means something, and you need to say, hey, I am somebody in the kingdom of God. I am worth something to the kingdom of God. I'm not a brick in a wall. I'm the whole wall. That wasn't even in the notes. His words brought life. He that was dead, the Bible said, sat up and began to speak. Listen to what John 6 tells us. It is the spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profiteth nothing, but is the words that I speak unto you. They are spirit and they are life. If the child's alive, we have dreams. If the child's alive, we have desires. If the child's alive, we got hope. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, is that real good? Yes. Because you see, if we understand that, we understand the real necessity, and we understand how to make the child live. See, God gave us a life support system. It's found in Romans chapter 8, that verse of scripture that I read you to start this whole thing. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen. And the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Can I tell you this morning, there's a reason we stir up the gift that is in us and we stir up the spirit that's in us, because it is that spirit that brings life to that child of us that has the ability to believe in God and the ability to move the mountains that God has in front of us so we can do something for him. If there's ever been a day, some of you need to hear what I'm telling you. You need to get alive again in the power of God and let the devil know, I'm not backing down anymore. I'm not turning aside anymore. I'm not running anymore. I've got a hold of something, and there's life in me, and that life in me helps me overcome anything you turn my way. Stand with me all over the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. Master, you said it is not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, into your hands I commend this congregation, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way in Jesus' name. Touch us with your glory. God, let somebody this morning have a resurrection. Oh, God, Jesus' name.